Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Former President and UN Human Rights Commissioner Mary Robinson is supporting an international campaign calling for intellectual property rights on COVID-19 vaccines to be waived so that production could be speeded up across the globe. Mrs. Robinson has joined the more than 150 heads of state and Nobel laureates in signing an open letter to US President Joe Biden calling for the patents to be waived. The former President and Chair of the Elders joins us now on the line, and thank you very much, Mary, for speaking to us this evening. I know that you wrote an opinion piece about this issue last week in The Times. I wonder, could you explain to our listeners why you think a waiver of intellectual property rights of COVID-19 vaccines is necessary?
Yes, I'm happy to, Sarah. I agree very much with a tweet today by Dr. Siva Thambisetti of LSE, where she says quite simply, end the vaccine super league. That puts it very clearly. We have such inequity and unfairness in access to vaccines in our world today, and the elders are very concerned about it, and I have joined a number of initiatives. Actually, I have a background of being concerned about vaccines because for a number of years, from about, I think about 2004 or 5 to for those years to about 2008, I chaired GAVI, the Global Alliance of Vaccines. Actually chaired the fund and alliance coming together. And I know the importance of vaccines, and I saw what happened when we had the HIV and AIDS pandemic, the need for access to drugs in that case, and there was a waiver of TRIPS, the WTO agreement, the kind of monopoly, if you like, of property rights that rich countries have in order to deal with that. We need that now. We need a waiver of the TRIPS property rights support to the manufacturing companies who make millions, if not billions, from the research they did, the development of the vaccines. We all welcome that. But now we need a waiver.
Yeah, and this idea of a waiver, it has been raised quite a bit over the past few months by various NGOs and human rights organisations in particular. I wonder, though, why do you think pharmaceutical companies would comply with this? You know, they have put a lot of funding and effort into developing vaccines in record time. They were doing it for profit as well as perhaps, you know, trying to help people. But profit effectively is their raison d'etre. So why would they give their profits away?
Because it doesn't make sense, in fact, if we don't ensure that every country has access to vaccines. The experts are very clear, and I mentioned this in my op-ed, that if one country, even if one country does not have access to vaccines, it will not guarantee that the rest of the world will be safe, simply because you'll have variants of the vaccines. We're actually seeing that. We've seen, you know, the UK variant, we've seen variants from Brazil that we're concerned about. We're now very concerned about what's happening in India. And the more this continues, the worse it could be. And also it could be very, very bad for the world economy. I mean, the implications for the world economy could be extremely serious, so much so that, you know, Gordon Brown has looked in detail at the economic risk. And it could mean, you know, a contraction in the richer parts of the world. In the UK, a contraction of 5% of GDP. In the EU, a contraction of 6% because of a failure to have the vaccine. It's a matter of trillions for the overall global economy.
So that's obviously really, yeah, that's obviously really bad news for governments around the world. It's really bad news for the health of the nations around the world. As you say, variants continue to emerge because the world has not been vaccinated. But it's not necessarily really bad news for the pharmaceutical companies, because people will always need medicines, and they'll particularly at the moment always need COVID-19 vaccines. So again, I suppose from their perspective, what is their incentive to release their intellectual property rights in this and give their formulas away?
Well, that's why we need the political pressure. It is really important and very welcome that President Biden is seriously considering supporting a temporary waiver of the specific intellectual property rights of these companies because of the urgency of ensuring access through COVAX, in particular, the WHO-led global commitment to get vaccines to developing countries. The initial commitment was to vaccinate 20% in 2021. And in fact, COVAX is now underfunded, if I could put it that way. So we need several things. We need the waiver, but we also need the vaccine know-how and technology that's shared. And Dr. Fauci of the United States has supported a WHO COVID-19 technology access pool. So it's several things. It's a waiver of the property rights. It's access to the technology, but it's also finance. It will cost about $30 billion a year over the next few years to have mass vaccinations. And Gordon Brown in particular has spelled out how the G7, which meets on the 13th of June, can help to have that money made available through special borrowing, special drawing rights of the IMF, etc. This is a global collective problem for humanity. We have to be sensible and very clear about how we come out of this in a way that secures a future for all. And we have to do it equitably and fairly.
You're talking about political pressure, and as you say, Joe Biden has indicated that he would potentially be favourable towards this, but we don't have anything firm from him yet. But also the WTO rules means that the UK government and the EU leaders must also change their position. Have we got any indication that they will?
Well, that's the key. I mean, it seems so short-sighted that the UK and the EU at the moment are not joining President Biden. He needs the support of other countries, obviously, in this move to get a waiver at the WTO. Obviously, the new head of the WTO, my friend Ngozi from Nigeria, she is very supportive, has written a lot about this issue and knows how important it is. She succeeded me as a chair of the Gavi Alliance. And what is actually needed is an intelligent view. And I thought that tweet put it very well. We cannot have a vaccine super league because it destroys the vaccine access down the line. It's like football, but it's far, far more serious. And
so if the other EU countries get on board, the WTO gets on board, Joe Biden, the USA gets on board, do you think that will be sufficient in terms of political pressure?
Yes, I'm sure if the EU gets on board with President Biden, of course the UK will get on board. That's how it works.
Could Ireland lead on this in any way?
I think it would be good to hear Ireland's voice on this. We're a member of the Security Council. We've been leading on other issues I've been very proud of, notably on Tigray. The problems there. Ireland is doing huge work in the Security Council to get a statement from the Security Council on Tigray. Similarly, I think it would be good to hear more vocal support for the need for a waiver, the need also for the vaccine know-how technology, and that be shared openly through a technology access pool. There's a lot of, there's a People's Vaccine Alliance, which the elders are also supportive of. So there's a lot of momentum. Okay.
We've been sent a statement, Mary, from the Irish Pharmaceutical Healthcare Association, and they say that intellectual property rights are not a barrier to COVID vaccines access. Production capacity is, that's what's the barrier. IP rights are for spurring the invention of new medicines for serious diseases. They have nothing to do with the complexity of surging production capacity for COVID vaccines. That's down to a scarcity globally of suitable production and manufacturing facilities. The industry is working to upgrade existing sites and find partners with suitable sites that can be upgraded to surge COVID vaccines manufacturing. So again, just to sum that up, they're saying this is down to capacity to make the vaccines, not down to releasing the rights of the intellectual property.
No, I'm afraid I respectfully do not agree. What we need is the capacity in the global south to manufacture vaccines in in massive quantities, if I could put it that way. And this requires that they have access to the know-how and the technology, and that there is a waiver of the property rights. It's as simple as that.
And of course, one company has done this, haven't they? Oxford, AstraZeneca have released their property rights, although of course they're not necessarily a pharmaceutical company, I don't think, in the same way that you would see Pfizer as a pharmaceutical company. Mary, before we let you go, I might just ask you, you mentioned climate in your piece, and as we know, the Climate Action Bill is being debated today in the Dáil. I'm just wondering, I don't know, are you familiar with the details of the Climate Action Bill? But if you are, I was wondering, does it go far enough in your opinion, and how concerned you are when we hear that China is planning to build scores of coal-fired power stations?
I'm aware, as a former president, not to get too into the weeds of an actual bill, though I follow very closely. I know exactly what's in the legislation. I basically think it's the right moves to have carbon budgets every 5 years, to really focus on our commitments under COP26 EU yesterday formally agreed that reduction of 55% of emissions by 2030. Many people think that's not going far enough of the EU, but at least it is significantly more than the 40% reduction that was earlier committed. That would be a stretch for Ireland in many ways. And what we need is to make this an issue that we talk about a lot, that we make personal to everyone at every level, especially at local community level, at county level, at city level, at town level, as well as the government in a top-down way. We need a sort of bottom-up people approach, and I'm very supportive of moving in that direction.
Finally then, you have described your role in the controversy surrounding Dubai Princess Latifa Al Maktoum as the biggest mistake. Yesterday, I know you're aware, the UN urged the United Arab Emirates to provide concrete proof without delay that Princess Latifa is still alive. What do you say?
I absolutely welcome the statement issued by the UN experts calling on the government of the United Arab Emirates to provide meaningful information on the fate of Sheikha Latifa, including assurances of her safety and her well-being without delay. And it's heartening, actually, to read that this is now being addressed at the appropriate level between the United Nations and the government of the UAE.
All right. Former President and UN Human Rights Commissioner Mary Robinson, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you, Sarah.